This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklyn's Radio.
Hello and welcome to Just Women, the weekly talk show on Brooklyn's Radio. It's Just Women for the next hour, talking to two very inspirational women with very different occupations. I'm Sharon Finch. My co-presenter today is Doreen Pipe. Hi, Doreen.
Well, hi, Sharon. And yes, it is lovely to be back in the studio with you. We don't seem to have done a show together for ages. And today, you're right, we've got some great guests in with us. We've got a returning guest, actually, Zoe Cano, who's a writer, a photographer, adventurer. Well, and what else? We're about to find out in the interviews today. And the lovely Abby McMurray. And she's going to tell us all about her voluntary work with guide dogs for the blind. Amazing creatures. So very much looking forward to hearing from those two smashing women. Now, we can't wait to hear about them. But in the meantime, if you'd like to join in with any questions or comments, do email studio@brooklynsradio.co.uk, and as ever, we'd love to hear from you.
Thanks very much, Doreen. So to start the programme today, I'd love to introduce back to the show Zoe Cano, a writer from Walton-on-Thames. Welcome back, Zoe.
Thank you so much for the invite. I cannot believe it. We were just talking before we went live that it has been exactly 1 year to the day when you last invited me here, and
I think it's fate. I think you're meant to return in exactly 1 year. I know it's been a really busy year for you since your Bonneville Go or Bust book that you wrote and had published. So can you just give us a summary of what amazing things have happened to you this year?
I really don't know where to start, but let's start here. Perhaps that's the best way. I had this. I think we'd said that when I came to see you last and we had a chat on the radio last February, I'd literally just handed in my notice from a full-time, 9-to-5, boring, stressful job with no prospects to go to. And literally this time last year, I really didn't know what was going to happen with the rest of my life. And I summarised it with a clear sort of one-liner to you about 10 minutes ago, saying that last year was probably the best year of my life, without any exaggeration. The way that I was able to turn my entire life around 180 degrees from a fairly solid 9-to-5 job, which was always obviously never going to give me pure satisfaction and was always going to create stress, to hand something in with nothing to go to, and then by the end of the year realize that I'd been able to basically survive and live another dream.
And what's your motivation from getting out of your 9-to-5 job and just throwing everything at what you want to do?
I think a lot of it has to do possibly with my impetuous character. I do try and analyse it slightly, but I also realise that unless you take the plunge, unless you sometimes make a decision, I'm not the sort of person who will make a decision in a way that is stupid or reckless. I do think about it, but as soon as I've made that decision, I act on it.
And you wrote Bonneville Go or Bust. Could you just give us a very brief summary of what the journey was, where you started, where you finished off?
Absolutely. So this was back in 2012, and this was after a five-year plan to basically go across the American continent solo. And having met and talked with a lot of people at over 35 shows last year, going up and down the country on the bike, it was really, there were objectives to do this trip, and that was to ride a bike, a motorbike, across America solo without any support. But the interesting fact was that I'd never done probably more than 100 miles on a motorbike before going on this escapade, which ended up over 10,000 kilometres. And the second thing which made it even more difficult, probably, which I didn't realise at the time because obviously I was very naive, was I used some old National Geographic maps, 1970s, 80s maps I'd found in my dad's old suitcase, and didn't use any sat-nav. So I was trying to find these old places and get under the skin of Americana using these maps. And because I had no sat-nav, I had to keep stopping and asking my way.
I'd just like to come in at one point here. You've done 100 miles a day on a bike before, and you decide to crack America
in
on the
total,
back of
I'd
one.
Done 100 miles. I'd hardly ridden a bike. I'd literally just passed my test.
It's verging on the barking, isn't it? You know, which I'm sorry, Abby, who's also in the room here about the dogs, but 100 miles and you decide to go across America on a bike and looking at the website photos. Well, I'm verging on speechless because I can't think of anybody that would do it, and yet alone it, as the name of the program says, just women that would get on the back of a bike, and then you throw in, I think I'll use my dad's old maps. It's incredible.
I don't think I'd have got out of Surrey, frankly, even with her. But I've seen Zoe zoomed out and up down our street on the bike, and she's a force to reckon with. It's a beauty to behold. You on the Bonneville. I've had a look at your fantastic new website, which looks so professional, so inviting, and I basically printed the whole lot off. I couldn't resist it. But you've got some really lovely reviews, and I just wanted to read one that just really stood out, because I think it just captures a good summary of the book. The writer captures the essence of what America has to offer while riding a motorcycle on roads less travelled. She also provides excellent descriptions of the town she visits with the beautiful people she meets along the way. The best part is that the motorbike riding experience is shared with deep insights into how it really is on the road, riding alone with no support and her only best friend, her motorcycle. I just thought that encapsulated what you did so in such a beautiful way.
And the bike did become a very good friend.
I should think it needed to, actually.
I even patted its tank when it was good and hadn't broken down that day.
Well, what was nice also after, seeing you back in England on New Year's Day at the home of racing here at Brooklands Racetrack. You were there with your bike. And
absolutely. It's fantastic. I love the guys at Brooklands. And they actually, when I started my sojourn last year, having left my job, I was actually invited by Brooklands to go to a couple of events with them during the summer, and they felt that it was a really nice attraction to have a lady, a girl, a woman, with this great funky bike and talking to people while signing her book. And so they invited me on New Year's Day back to Brooklands, and I was with the members pavilion, and it was a wonderful day, wasn't it? I mean, so many beautiful cars and bikes there. It's such a beautiful place.
Absolutely fantastic. But it was lovely to see you there.
Thank
and actually,
you.
As I walked past with Tony, Sharon, I said, I know her. We must go back and say hello. But we got waylaid. There was a lot going on that day. But tracking back to your own story here, I mean, I'm amazed because motorbikes, to me, are not the most comfortable of things to travel in. And you did an awful lot of miles on the back of one. Did you find it comfortable or did you make it comfortable?
That's a lovely question. Well, first of all, my bum isn't that padded, and I didn't actually wear any padded trousers. But I think I use this word a lot, naivety. At that stage, I didn't realise that you could have tailored bike seat covers, you could have them extra padded. I literally had the bog standard factory made bike, so it did have quite a thin seat, and I wore just normal trousers. But yeah, I mean, I was doing, I think, a maximum mileage per day would be about 400-450 miles, and then there were other days when possibly only did about maybe 100. But it was, I don't sort of do things in a sort of, how can I put it, in a stupid way. I thought that if I was going to get tired or I was going to get burnt out, then I'd obviously stop. But there were probably only 2 days where I did about 400 miles. I always wanted to get to these places before it got dark. I didn't actually have a sore bum much of the time. It was amazing.
Well, I think that's a fantastic testament.
Let's drink to that. Oh, no, we haven't got any drinks. Never mind. And have you kept in contact with lots of the people that you met on that trip?
I've kept in contact with, I would say, yeah, probably a good handful of them. To name just a couple, which are actually quite funny people, and they're actually mentioned and credited in the book, is I met and was invited by a gay couple of cowboys up in Oklahoma. Beautiful, beautiful ranch. And these two guys gave me such warm hospitality. And I've got a really good friend in Memphis who accommodated and put me up, and some friends on the West Coast. So, yeah, I mean, I'm in contact with some people and also new people that I met along the way who were also obviously interested to know how the trip went. And more interestingly, were interested to know what was going to happen after this mega trip across America.
And we know that you did another trip including America, and you've written a book which has just been released called Southern Escapades. So I'd like to know how long it took you to plan the second book and what was the inspiration behind the trip?
Well, so what happened is that when I got back from the Trans-America trip, I started writing the book. When the book got published in 2014, I was invited by Triumph to go to one of their shows, and I met just by pure fluke the Triumph people from America, and they were so smitten by the story of the way I'd gone across America that they invited me back, believe it or not, to the US, and they actually sponsored me and provided a bike for me, and they wanted me to go up to Alabama to the big barber show. The Barber Museum and Racetrack is the largest collection of bikes in the world. It's beautiful, beautiful. And what we did, I was with a traveling companion, actually my publisher Mike, who also ironically was also a biker. Triumph gave me a bike, and we basically rode up from Orlando, or just outside Orlando, Lake Wales, which is a beautiful place down in the sort of the central strip of Florida, and we biked up through the southern states of the Gulf of Mexico, up through Alabama, through Georgia, and back down through Florida. And again, there was, with the first book, there was never an intention to write anything, but I just thought that after the trip, so much had happened. He knew the route. We were going very similar to my sort of style, on the back roads, didn't use sat-nav, old maps, having to stop and start all the time. And when I got back to the UK at the end of 2014, still in this full-time job, I just thought, you know, there's a little storyline there. It's not a bigger story. It's just a two-week trip. But my whole philosophy in life has tried to inspire other people and other women that even if it's a short trip or a short sojourn, you know, you can still have an adventure, or you can still have an experience. And I think sometimes the word adventure has become overused and exaggerated. And the only people who you think have adventures are those that go around the world and live minimally and, you know, do things of such extremity that no one could ever do this. But what I'm trying to say to people is that, you know, adventures or just basically life experiences can be done anywhere and by anyone.
Did you find that because you'd done a trip before on your own, it was less nerve-wracking, or was it similar in approach?
It was a very different trip, because for the two-thirds of the trip, he was navigating. So I didn't have this responsibility to be looking at my maps all the time and to be sort of, you know, stopping and starting and asking where I was going. It was actually wonderful. I just literally was behind him, following him, and for me it was fantastic, because I actually was able to look around the countryside, look around the scenery, and so I had no responsibility in that perspective. But I also felt that it relinquished a lot of the autonomy, and it relinquished a lot of the individual freedom, because you were almost like in the backseat of a car. You were just following somebody, and although you still had the wind in your hair and that beautiful feel of freedom, you ultimately didn't have the last say in where you went or how you did it. So the last part of the trip, the last week, I actually travelled on my own and then got back to what I was used to doing before.
And when you were getting back to this, Sharon touched on it earlier, you're a superb photographer, and you must have a beautiful camera as well, because these shots on your website, they're stunning.
Thank you. They take you there. Thank you. I've done a lot of photography in the past, and I think I'm just very fortunate that I've either lived or travelled in places around the world that have, you know, had the possibility to be creative and to capture images. And for me, it's not just a question of having, you know, somebody in the middle of a portrait and taking their picture. It's actually creating an angle to that picture, or creating something, or enhancing it, or enlarging a certain section of it to create a little bit of a story. So the pictures I actually took, and I don't know if you're going to believe this, but I did actually take over 2,000, but they were all taken on my iPhone.
Oh, I'm encouraged by that, because I have one of those.
I'm going to get one now. they're so professional.
They are so clear.
I know.
They are so clear. Advertising there. Well done, iPhones. But the actual content of these photos, they're funny. They're witty. There's a beautiful one of a flipping great cow.
I thought it was a camel.
and announcing you can have, I think I'm reading this right, a 72-ounce steak, and you've got your bike parked outside. Please tell us you didn't try it to eat that.
This is an incredible place. This is down in Amarillo, Texas, and this is actually part of the Route 66 part of the trip what I actually went on. And I did actually say to everybody, I said to Sharon at the time, I'm going to try and avoid Route 66 as far as possible, because for me, the whole point of the trip was to go on my roads lesser travelled, and not go on these roads which were so highly advertised and that already people knew about. But this one was down in Amarillo, and it's this rancher's hotel where they even have rooms for the horses.
Sorry, can I stop you there? They do what with the horses?
They have rooms for the horses. When I checked in that afternoon with the bike, the guy behind the counter in the hotel said, right, well, they'll just be for you, ma'am, or do you also want a room for the horse? And they literally had...
It's like doggy daycare, isn't it?
Only in America.
It was a stop for cowboys and their horses, and they did have stables for the horses. So that was obviously a question they asked as a normal question.
So did you put the bike in one, or did it stay in the car park?
The bike came into my room.
I can believe that. It's wonderful. That I will take that back with me from listening to you today, Zoe, that you can actually have a room for your horse. Well, there you go.
Well, while we pontificate on that, I think we're going to go to an ad break. And after the ad break, Zoe will be reading a passage from her new book, which we're really looking forward to hearing. So don't go away.
This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklands Radio.
Aztec Dental Centre, 19 Cannon Grove, Fetcham, is your local friendly surgery. We're different from the rest. Our technicians are here to make what you break, from dentures to implants. So pop in and see us for free consultations, or phone Aztec Dental Centre on 01372 377 678 and leave with a smile on your face.
If you're surfing around, why not visit the Brooklands Radio website? We have local news, weather and travel, as well as all the latest highlights for you to listen to again. See when your favourite programme is on air and find out what we all look like. Surf on down to brooklandsradio.co.uk. That's brooklandsradio.co.uk.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk. Or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Just Women is just what you need.
Well, welcome back to Just Women with me, Doreen Pipe, and of course my co-presenter Sharon Finch. And the amazing Zoe Canlow will be telling us a little more about her travels across America. Now, Zoe, you're going to read a bit from one of your books to us now, so we're all ears. Over to you.
Fantastic. I'll just do a little bit of an intro on this. So this is the new book, which has just come out in the end of January 2016, published by the American publisher Road Dog Publications. But this is an excerpt which I wrote coming back from this long road trip on the bikes from Alabama, where there'd been areas of, to put it bluntly, dire poverty. And here I am coming and going to be riding and seeing the exact opposite in Southern Florida. So I'm back at my host's house, and this is literally, I've just got ready to depart again solo to ride out on my own. I fold the piece of paper, which is actually a map, which Mike had carefully drawn, into my trouser pocket and see him walking out holding two mugs of coffee. He hands me one. Hi, Zoe. It's a good morning to get out over to Sarasota. The temperature is still going to be in the low 80s and there's no forecast of rain. I promise you, it couldn't be easier. You head out of here. It's west, west, west and still west on the same road until you can't go any farther and you hit water. The luxurious notion of spending a couple of days of freedom by the sea and having no time schedule, commitments or massive long distances to cover anymore seemed grand to me. With the bag tied down with the rock straps and ready to leave, I start the bike. With that, he waves me goodbye and I'm back out on the road on my own. But I do hope I'll be okay with the bike. But what joy, what undiluted and total freedom. The bike is also purring contentedly, feeling, I'm sure, that we're going to have a good ride out together. I've put the little piece of paper in my tank bag and looked down at it. Right. Let's concentrate, as it's now me responsible for finding the way. No more road dog leading the way. With the smoothness of the quiet highway, I quickly kick the gears upwards until I'm doing a comfortable 65 miles per hour. That's plenty on a morning like this, with no rush. I just feel the sensation of the warm wind blowing past and around me, see the green fields on either side, and know at this very moment in time I'm a totally free spirit, responsible to no one but myself. I'm almost feeling that with the speed and the wind brushing all over me, that it's cleansing my fears, palpitations and worries away. I know only too well that back home and facing reality, I currently have a lot to deal with, and potentially my life path is needing to be dramatically changed. The miles on the speedometer quickly click away, and within just half an hour, or 24 miles to be exact, I exited Avon Park. It gently merges into Little Florida's Route 64, where I feel I'm being transported back in time. Small farmsteads appear from time to time along this quiet country back road, with tractors and farm equipment parked up in the front of farms and cows grazing contentedly in the lush, fertile fields, with birds flying and nesting in the trees.
Very visual, and I was on that bike with my larger bottom than yours. But I think that a lot of the reviews that came out said that they felt they were on the journey with you.
I can understand that totally. And having been to America the poor part of it, and quite the wealthy bit as well, it just took me back there, the heat, and the freedom that you described there. What a fabulous feeling. That's what you said. You changed your life in the year. And just listening to you say that just brings it to life. It's lovely. Thank you, Zoe. That was actually a privilege to hear you read that. To hear an author read something is kind of special.
Yeah, definitely.
Isn't it? It's lovely to hear, Sharon. And see, you continue on this bike. You've got back safe and sound. Dare we ask what you're going to do next?
Or is it top secret?
Well, for my Weybridge friends and my Brooklands friends, you can be the first. This is a world announcement.
Oh.
We better pay you then, hey?
Yes, I am actually off on another road trip, and I want to make it a little... I will give a few indicating clues, but I am specifically trying to keep it undercover at the moment because there's no intention to create a storyline, but who knows. But I will be leaving in May for almost a month, and I will be travelling on the roads lesser travelled. I will be going to a place which for a lot of people is very unknown, but also quite isolated, but not isolated. And it's actually, believe it or not, it's going to be down on the Pacific coast. Yep. And it's going to be down in the southwest of the American continent. And it's going to be exploring places that have a lot of history, a lot of stories behind them. And I will be trying to uncover, as I've done in the other stories, uncover the lifestyles, stories from people. And I also speak some Spanish, so that hopefully will help. And I'm very excited. And I'm very excited to be in a place which I'll be able to, you know, put a bit of suntan cream on.
Well, there speaks a true woman, in my view, that you're combining a little bit of a rest with this. Your life seems to be fantastic. And as you say, it's changed so much in this year. But my gosh, it's changed for the better. You know, we look across at you and you're a happy woman. It's just wonderful. I mean, I wouldn't be a happy woman on a motorbike, but you certainly are. I'm terrified of them. But fantastic, all power to you. Please take some wonderful photos and show us them.
Absolutely, I definitely will. I mean, that will be one of the key priorities, is to encapture, and I think that's what photography does. It encaptures on a permanent way, like books do when you read them, a visual. And when I wrote the first book and also the second, it was actually the photographs that brought all those memories back and that actually helped and was much better than actually writing notes.
And if people want to buy Bonneville Go or Bust or the new book, how can they go around about that?
actually, it's good news. I now have my own website, so you can also buy them at any leading bookstore or online Amazon. But my actual website now is www.zoecano.com, and you can make a special request if you want the book signed. I will sign them for you, and they are actually cheaper than in the bookstore, so hopefully that'll be of interest to hopefully a lot of people.
Well, thank you very much for coming on, and let us know about your next adventure. We can't wait to hear about it. And as Zoe said, books can be ordered from her website, and I urge you to look at the website because it's a beauty in itself.
It's lovely, isn't it? It is, I would like to say, a work of art. And I've worked my way down through America as she's been speaking. Do have a look at it. It's beautiful. It goes with the beautiful books as well.
This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklands Radio.
Welcome back to Just Women with me, Sharon Finch, and my co-presenter today, Doreen Pipe. I'm now delighted to welcome Abby McMurray to the show. Welcome, Abby.
Hi.
Now, you have a very interesting career, even though you're not that old, if I may say so, not by my standards anyway. So you're currently a student finishing a degree in fine arts at Chelsea College.
Yeah.
So what led you to that point?
It's just something that I've always kind of was naturally the best at out of other subjects. You know, it was always kind of my strong point, I think. I think a bit like what Zoe was saying, you know, images in particular can just tell you so much. And I mainly paint, but yeah, you know, I've just been doing it for years and years. I don't know what else I would do now. So yeah, I'm just about to finish my degree.
Was that a three-year degree or longer?
It was 3 years, and I did a foundation year beforehand where I tried a few different things, but I stuck with painting. I handed in my dissertation 2 weeks ago.
Well, good luck with that.
Thank you.
Very best of luck with that.
Thank you.
Then it's not just what you do with your studies. It's sometimes we think of university students as that's what they're there for, a great jolly. But how lovely to hear that someone's doing. And you are, of course, there for a great jolly. I know, but there you go.
A little jolly, maybe.
A little jolly. Or like my son, you meet your future wife there. In your case, maybe your life partner. But having said that, you're at university, but you're giving your time back to the voluntary sector as well, Abby. And why did you choose Guide Dogs for the Blind?
I've always been interested in volunteering. I've done a little bit of voluntary work before. So a few years ago, over New Year, I spent 2 weeks down in the kind of the edges of Cornwall volunteering at a seal sanctuary.
Seals?
Yeah.
I think I might have been to that sanctuary.
Yeah.
And it's a wonderful
place.
It's
amazing, yeah.
It is. Oh, you must have had great fun down
there. Yeah, it was lovely. It was very cold, very wet. I smelt of fish the whole time, but it was definitely worth it. And, you know, that was something. I came back from there and I was just so, I was just ready to do the next thing. You know, that was over a university holiday, but I wanted to do something a bit more regular. And Guide Dogs for the Blind in particular, I just think I've always been fascinated by them. If I see one, you know, I'm sort of just, you know, you are, they're just fascinating. And I was never sure how they really worked. You know, it's incredible that they can give someone that kind of independence to go out without being able to completely see. So I was just looking at different voluntary options that they had. I originally applied to do dog free running, which was a voluntary role where you would take somebody's guide dog and perhaps the guide dog owner out for an hour or so a week just to give it a bit of a relief exercise.
So you would take the dog off of the harness,
yes,
as it were.
Yeah, exactly.
And take it down and throw the sticks, balls and everything else in a park. Is that what
it was just sort of to give them like a kind of a normal dog for an hour or so. So I originally applied for that, and I went to my first training, and at the end of the day, the ladies training me said that there was somebody in my area who actually wanted a kind of a hybrid role, kind of dog free runner and my guide partnership. Somebody that could volunteer to do both of those roles. Would I be interested? And I didn't know too much about it, but they kind of explained a little bit about what it would be, and I was quite happy to go ahead and do that. So I started more training. And essentially what I do is I go and see a man called Chris every Wednesday, and I think what I've learned most from...
Has Chris got a guide dog then?
Yes.
So you're now at the point where you're actually visiting a family who have a person who needs the services of a guide dog.
Yes.
And how long has he had his dog?
He's had this particular dog for about just under a year. So I actually started volunteering with him just when we
had
the name
of the dog. Is
she's
it?
Called Elkie.
Elkie the dog.
Yeah, and
well,
she's
if
lovely.
She looks as gorgeous as the guide dog's website, it is the Andrix puppy.
Yeah.
Isn't it? It's beautiful.
Yeah, they're lovely.
They are lovely. So you're meeting the dog, you're there with the owner, and what do you do then?
Yeah, so I think kind of each My Guide partnership, which is the kind of role I take on, is different for each guide dog user. And in the particular case of Chris, who I volunteer with, he's had, I think Elkie's his sixth guide dog, so he's had guide dogs for years. And he's actually completely blind, but he is just incredible. He copes amazingly. He's been so independent. He's had an amazing career and done loads of things. But recently, I think about 2 years ago, he unfortunately had to have his voice box removed. So he had that ailment on top of being completely blind. And I think for him, it was when he had his new dog, it was the confidence of being able to go out. Because before, you know, if he did get lost or anything like that, or, you know, just slightly off route, then he could communicate with people and they could kind of help him. Not that he really needs that much. He just knows where he's going all the time, better than I do. I always get lost behind him. But I think that for him it was just a bit of a setback in that, you know, if he, with a new dog, if she didn't know exactly the right route and she took him off of his route, he, you know, people did try and help him, but sometimes it just confused things more. So to begin with, I just kind of followed him around his local area. I went with a guide dog mobility instructor who would have trained Elkie for him, and just learnt all the routes and... just kind of followed him around to give him a bit of confidence in getting understanding where, how she worked and her understanding how he kind of...
So more than anything, you're a hands-off carer in a way, aren't you? Because you're not helping him with the dog. You're there just in case something may go slightly awry.
Yeah, pretty much. Essentially, I'm kind of observe, really, and then... we will do like a little bit of shopping or things like that. Anything that he might need a bit more verbal assistance with. But that's just kind of our partnership, because it does, you know, guide dog owners and guide dogs themselves are so different that other people need volunteers for different reasons. But yeah, that's it. I think that's a really good way of putting it. Hands off assistance, really. And then we'll take Elkie out for a free run. And
so that's when you get the fun bit, is it? You're throwing the ball and everything else in the park.
I actually think that they don't, you're not supposed to like throw sticks and stuff for them. I can't remember why, but so she just runs around, but she's very happy. And it's so lovely because I really, really love going and seeing Chris. He's such an amazing person.
I bet he loves seeing you as well, because it must be great to have that extra support with him and his companion, his dog Elkie.
Yeah,
just incredible, isn't it, to hear these stories?
The first thing that came to my mind is, how do they match a dog with the right person? Because that must be quite... They don't just put any dog with any person.
No, there's
so
a lot of...
What's the process for that?
I'm not 100% myself, but I know quite well Chris's guide dog ability instructor. I asked her a lot of questions because I'm just nosy. Just wanted to know all about that. And I think that she... I guess she would have had to have picked... I think she quite early on hand picked Elkie, gearing her towards Chris. So with her kind of training... where he can't call her back, he claps and holds his hands out and she responds to that. So I imagine in the selection process, it was a dog that was particularly looking around a lot, because, you know, if we're one end of a field and we turn around, she's right there because she's seen us going in a different direction. She's so just kind of watching him the whole time. Amazing. Yeah, they are really amazing.
It's truly amazing. I am not a dog person. I was telling you earlier. Yeah. Cats, I'm great with. Dogs, I'm not. But I so respect a working dog.
Yeah.
And I happened to be speaking to an owner of a guide dog who is having a new guide dog. And he said he's going to have about 2 weeks residential with the new dog in training. But he's had dogs in the past, like Chris has. But it is getting to know your new dog. And what a wonderful relationship these creatures have. I've never heard of anybody like you, Abby, that's actually supporting the people who need the dogs.
Mm.
It's really lovely to hear
Thank you.
It really is. And, you know, you're obviously having fun with it, and Elkie and Chris are enjoying the experience. Win-win all the way around.
Yeah, it's lovely.
So when you finish your university, do you intend to continue as long as you can? What's your plan for the future with guide dogs?
Yeah, I think I'm going to stay there as long as, particularly with Chris, I hope to be with him as long as he needs me. I've seen like a massive improvement from when I was there. I started in March, April last year, and we would do two or three routes, and we might do a little bit of shopping, and now sometimes I'll get there and he'll say, you know, I've already done a few routes today. I don't necessarily need you for that. So it's really nice to see, to kind of be in this privileged position of observing how they've bonded. And I'd like to think he still needs me, just so we can go and take her for a bit of a run. But yeah, no, I plan to be there as long as they need me. Obviously, depending on what happens work-wise with me, once I finish my degree, I might have to shift around when I can see him. But currently, we have like a really good setup. I see him Wednesday mornings, and
it sounds perfect for both Abby and Chris, doesn't it, Sharon?
Amazing. Yeah. Have you got any photos of you with Chris and the dog?
I don't know. I might have one. I've changed phones recently, but I definitely have one of the three of us.
Well, we'd love to have that on you know, our site if you have.
Yeah,
we can post that up as well on our Facebook, perhaps, Karen. I'm so sorry. Why'd I call you Karen?
That's fine. I'm happy for any reference. So
I'll have to tell you, she'll call me some other name in a minute, because it's usually Sharon who likes to change everybody's name.
Or Doreen Finch or something like that. I think we're going to a quick ad break, but I'd love to chat to you a bit more after that, so don't go away.
This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklands Radio.
Hair Mechanics has two superior hair and beauty salons, one in West Byfleet and our new salon, Bourne Valley Garden Centre in Addlesden. From complimentary fringe trims to electrolysis or pedicures, visit our website hairmechanics.co.uk for a full list of all our services and treatments. We tailor every visit to be your own unique customer experience. Throughout January and February, we are offering 20% off beauty treatments at our Bourne Valley salon if you quote BR 2016. Call 01932 344 450 to book your beauty treatments. Valid until 28th of February.
Feel Good, it's Friday with Trevor James on Friday afternoons from 4 p.m. until 7. Only the best tunes from across the decades to date, a look back at events on this day in history, news and happenings in Surrey, and the essential Friday night live gig guide with some club classics from 6:30. The weekend starts here with Trevor James on Brooklands Radio.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Just Women is just what you need.
Welcome back to Just Women, and it's Doreen Pipe here again with Sharon Finch, and we're interviewing the lovely Abby Murray, who's been telling us about this fabulous little dog. It isn't a little dog, is it? It's quite a big dog, Elkie, and he's her owner, Chris, and the work that she does, just giving her time and the difference it's made to this guy. And I think the difference it might have made to you, Abby. You smile when you talk about it. You clearly enjoy it. And that's what volunteering should be about. It's actually a two-way thing.
Yeah, definitely.
For you and the person who's benefiting. I go back to the pictures of the dogs on the site of the guide dogs. God, they are lovely. They are, and I'm not a dog person. Cats, Siamese, brilliant, but they just look beautiful. And I respect the work that they do. But I can see that you can sponsor dogs and everything else like that, and, you know, how much it must cost an awful lot of money to train the dogs. And whilst I'm not going to pin you down to the cost of that, we know it's way, way up in the thousands to get one of these dogs, and they're worth every penny. But you also are an artist, aren't you? So have you ever painted Elky or one of the dogs?
I haven't, actually. I did do a drawing of one of my family dogs for my dad, and the dog passed away. But I haven't done any guide dog drawings yet. Maybe I could end up doing some kind of painting in like an auction or something, raise some money for guide dogs.
I think that would be a fabulous idea.
It might be a nice way
to
combine the two.
Yeah, a lovely memory for you.
Yeah.
And indeed, Chris.
Yeah.
What a legacy to guide dogs as well, isn't it?
Mm, yeah, absolutely. What kind of style of painting do you do?
At the moment, I've been doing oil paintings, images of endangered or sort of depleted animals. So I've just painted the last male northern white rhino. He has a 24-hour armed guard around him permanently. I'm kind of also looking at sort of the influence of social media and digital, you know, the digital age we're in is just fascinating, especially if you look back at it through an art historical point. And so I've kind of got this image of this rhino, and it's sort of stretched and warped, and I'm doing another one that's pixelated. But you can see my kind of interest in animals and that kind of thing. It does cross over. It's hard to not let it. But yeah, so there is a little bit of a crossover there.
So after you've done your art degree, are you interested in doing promo stuff for WWF or those sort of organisations, or and so, you know, the dual cause?
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure yet. I actually, for a while, was interested in sticking with guide dogs or other kind of assistance dogs, maybe looking into some kind of career in one of those. I don't know exactly what I would be able to do, because obviously I'll have an art qualification.
I think more to the point, you have you, Abby. You do have you, Abby, because you're very special that you've given this time to a charity. You've got a lot out of it, and any charity looking to employ someone would see that shining out of you. And in the charity field, and I speak as somebody who was in that, you'd love it.
Oh, really?
You'd fly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You'd fly in it.
Thank you.
Because you've got heart, and you need heart to take that forward. You've also got talent in art as well. Goodness
me. Haven't seen them yet.
Well, I bet they're pretty good. If looking at you is anything, I bet they're pretty good.
Oh,
don't you,
I'm sure they are. Especially to my stick people. Where is the white rhino? Or is that secret?
Somewhere in South Africa. Okay. I'm not 100% sure.
I would think.
Yeah.
To keep him safe and sound. A fascinating story that, you know, that you've chosen that all the way through your thesis, and you could have chosen a puppy and how that grew up.
Yeah.
I'm now onto the site again, and there's a puppy cam on here as well. I'm going to have to investigate this later. And indeed, my friend Vivian, who has a beautiful Labrador called Daisy, I must say, are you looking at this site daily?
I'm glad I'm not looking at it. I don't think I'll be able to speak. There'll be too many oars.
Well, they are lovely. There's about five of them pouring out of a little door here. I mean, who could not fall in love with that?
I did see The Secret Life of the Zoo recently. Was it on last night?
Yeah.
I just couldn't. It just gives you such an insight to the psyche of animals and their behaviour. And I was just couldn't stop watching. It was absolutely fascinating.
Yeah.
You must see a lot of behavioural things between Chris and Elky, and how she reacts to certain situations. Are you accustomed to how she behaves now?
Yeah, it's strange. I mean, obviously she kind of is there to work, essentially. But it is a lot more than that. There's a lot more kind of an emotional connection. Like, so even when we're in Chris's home and she's off her harness, and kind of, you know, when they're off their harnesses, they pretty much revert to a normal dog. And she just is constantly watching him. She's always behind him. You know, he'll go into the kitchen and she's there straight away. She's just constantly watching him. I think that it's really nice to see that it isn't just, you know, they do kind of switch off, you know, like when you let her off her lead on a free run, she'll run around with other dogs. She's probably a little bit more hyper than the other dogs, you know. You know, I think that some people are quite shocked when you say, oh, yeah, she's a guide dog. But, yeah, no, you can see the way she kind of just watches him, I think, says a lot about it. And I went actually to the Guide Dogs Awards in December. Yeah, it was early December. And there were some amazing stories there. They were saying, I think there was one woman that won an award with her guide dog who intended to go into a Weight Watchers class, but at the last minute decided that she didn't want to, she didn't have the confidence to it, and turned around and her dog pulled her straight back in.
It's lovely to hear they've got a sense of humour as well, really. Exactly. I think that's rewarding as well, because when you went to the awards, were there lots of guide dogs there
as
well?
Yeah.
And how quiet or noisy was it with the dogs?
They were actually, they were kind of a mix. There were some of them that were just so, you know, just laying there. There was one dog, bless him, and him and his owner had won an award, and he was so fast asleep. They were sort of having to drag him up onto the stage. There was one dog that I think had began training as a guide dog, but then ended up working with the police, so he was a bit more boisterous. He was staying at our hotel, and yeah, he was a little bit noisier.
but when these are working dogs and they get tired, they're concentrating the whole time. So how long do they sleep longer than a normal dog? This really is a person who doesn't know about dogs, but they must be tired. They're having to concentrate. It's not like a normal dog that can do whatever it wants to do. This dog is concentrating the whole time. Do you find that Elkie does sleep a lot?
Yeah.
Does Chris say that?
I think that, you know, because he'll probably take her out most days now. He'll take her out 4 or 5 times a day doing routes around the local area. And, yeah, because if I took my dog out and we went around the block a few times, that kind of thing, he wouldn't, you know, he'd still have energy. But because she's just focusing the whole time, you know, moving around objects, stopping and at the road, observing. She does always seem pretty happy to get home. She's quite content. If we take her in the car to go for a walk, you know, on the way home, she'll just lie down, and she seems pretty happy to have a rest, I think, because, yeah, they're just concentrating all the time. I think that it's amazing, really, what these dogs can do. I think that they usually train until they're about 18 months to 2 years old. So, you know, they're still relatively young dogs. And actually, I think Chris had Elkie from a little bit younger. And it's amazing that you can put so much into them and they can retain it all and constantly use it. You know,
they're giving so much back, aren't they? Yeah. That's the fantastic thing here. And the guide dogs have been going a long time as well, haven't they? So there must have been thousands and thousands of these. I think it's a wonderful organisation, training. And I didn't know that there were people like you either. And it's lovely to hear, you know, that Abby is there supporting a dog.
And it's you can tell that she just absolutely loves it as well.
Definitely.
Well, it's the time for the end of the interview, I'm afraid. But is there a website that people can, either, you know, the Dogs for the Blind website that people can go and have a look at?
Yeah, it's just www.guidedogs.org.uk. And you can sponsor a puppy, you can find out how to volunteer, you can see where's local to you and what fundraising events they have coming up. It's a really, really comprehensive website. There's loads.
It's beautiful, I'd like to say, listeners. It is beautiful, even if you don't like dogs. And who couldn't like a guide dog? This is lovely.
I'm glad you're multitasking, Doreen. You can talk and look at that website at the same time.
Oh, fabulous.
Well, I'd like to thank all of our guests today on Just Women. That's Zoe Cano and Abby McMurray. And, of course, my wonderful co-presenter, Doreen Pipe.
Well, it's been great to share the airspace with you and yes, our lovely guests today. And can I just remind everybody that if you know anybody who would like to be on our show, we'd love to have them here. Do get them to email in to studio@brooklandsradio.co.uk. We'll do the rest. We'll get them on. And they could be as interesting as our two guests today, couldn't they, Sharon?
Absolutely. Yes, and we can hopefully get them on a future show. So details of past and future guests are on our website, brooklandsradio.co.uk/justwomen. And you can find us on Facebook also at @justwomen.br. So thanks again for listening. Join us again next week for Just Women, 1 p.m. on Tuesdays. So it's goodbye from me, Sharon Finch.
And it's goodbye from me, Doreen Pipe.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklyn's Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklynsradio.co.uk or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklyn's Radio. Just Women is just what you need.